Dinosaurs are distant relatives of birds, and the Velociraptor is one of the most bird-like dinosaurs we've discovered. They weren't much bigger than a turkey, couldn't fly, but they did have feathers. Of course, none of the raptors we encounter today are as large or as ferocious, but they are an impressive lot. We're talking about the birds of prey that call Wisconsin home on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Are you a birder? What have you noticed about birds of prey here in Wisconsin? Have you ever had an interaction, and how did it go? 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Anna Pigeon is our guide. She's an associate professor of forest and wildlife ecology at UW-Madison. Anna, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we were so excited to learn about your last name when we were booking you. It couldn't be more perfect. But don't falcons eat pigeons for lunch?
Oh, they sure do. And when I was an undergraduate in Minnesota and helping to reintroduce peregrine falcons, the press really had a field day with my last name.
When did you get interested in birds?
Oh, I think I've always been interested in birds and wildlife. I was lucky to grow up near a natural area near the Minnesota River and was starstruck by all the wildlife species I saw. And then I had a chance to graduate work on birds, and I was very much hooked both by that and my undergraduate ornithology class.
Well, let's get started with some definitions here. What is a raptor or a bird of prey? What makes it a raptor?
The term raptorial means predatory. So raptors are birds that prey on vertebrates. Many birds eat invertebrates, insects and spiders, etc. But we separate those that eat vertebrates, so mammals and birds and snakes reptiles is what I'm trying to say.
How many different species of raptor are there?
Worldwide, I guess I'm not sure. Hundreds, certainly hundreds. In Wisconsin, we have 12 diurnal or day hunting birds of prey, and depending on how you count things, 7 regular or maybe up to 9 birds of prey that hunt at night, and those would be owls.
And so the day hunters, what are they looking for? What's their eye on?
Well, they distribute their hunting according to all of the availability of prey within Wisconsin. So some birds specialize on small mammals. Some birds specialize on eating smaller birds. And some, like the red-shouldered hawk, when the opportunity presents, eat frogs and snakes.
So basically what's ever tasty and available to them that they can seize on?
Whatever is tasty and available, but also whatever they have the specialized tools in terms of their hunting style and their equipment, their feet, and their beak and their ability to maneuver through the air. They're specialized to prey on different groups of prey. So, for example, a peregrine falcon is a highly aerial, mobile, accomplished flyer, and it can swoop down on its prey and hit them while they're flying in the air. That's something that other birds of prey can't do, other raptors can't do.
What about their claws? Are they unique?
Well, all birds have feet that have claws of some sort, but raptors are developed to a high degree. But even there, some raptors have more powerful talons than others. For example, the northern harrier is a species that flies low over grasslands and marshlands, and it's looking for and listening for mostly small mammals, mice and voles. It has fairly weak feet, so it's limited to catching fairly small prey. Whereas, let's go to the opposite end, the bald eagle has huge, strong, very powerful talons, and it can grasp big, wet and struggling fish, slimy and struggling fish with those talons.
We're talking with Anna Pidgeon. She's an associate professor of forest and wildlife ecology here at UW-Madison. Are you a birder? We want to hear about your most interesting bird of prey watching experience in Wisconsin. Where do you go? 800-642-1234. Have you seen raptors in your own backyard, perhaps as you walk trails with your dog? Where are they and what are they doing? What are you hearing? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Anna, these raptors, some have a pretty difficult start. It sounds as if not all of them survive.
That's true. It's very lucky for a raptor to make it to its first birthday. Greater than 50% don't make it to their first birthday. And that's for, there's challenges, many challenges along the way. So, for example, learning how to hunt successfully in three-dimensional space is a complicated feat, and raptors' brains are need to learn that very quickly, and coordination is important. But then many raptors will make a migratory trip in the winter to southern, a little bit more southern climes, and learning to know where are safe places and what kinds of areas to avoid is a difficult task and often a fatal one for birds just exploring. So, yeah, much less than 50% make it to their first birthday. Once they've made it to their first birthday, though, many raptors can live much longer once they become wise to the difficulties in their environment, and once they learn where food is available, they can live as long as some. So let's say bald eagles can live as long as 20, even 30 years.
We've have a bald eagle clip, and we've pulled some raptor clips, and let's listen just a little bit to a bald eagle. So, Anna, as we listen there, what are you hearing?
Well, I'm hearing what to many people is often an unexpected kind of, I don't know, how would you describe it, a weak trilling or chirping sound that the bald eagle vocalization represents. And people are often startled that this big, majestic, large raptor makes this kind of weak and, I don't know, chittery sound. And so what I'm hearing is birds communicate with each other through vocalizations, and so not sure exactly what that was about, but just vocalizing, being in, making contact with others that are in the vicinity.
And so a lot of these calls that we hear is making contact with birds in the vicinity.
Yes, raptors, several are particularly vocal, especially in the early part of the breeding season when they are establishing territories, when they're interacting and courting mates. Vocalizations seem to be an important part of courtship.
Talking with Anna Pidgeon, a UW-Madison Associate Professor of Forest and Wildlife Ecology, about raptors and their well-being and habitats here in Wisconsin. Have you ever seen a hawk or owl up close? What was that experience like? Have you had an interaction with a bird of prey? Share your experience at 800-642-1234. Your questions welcome as well. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation in a minute on the Ideas Network. Raptors are the largest birds of prey in North America. Some birds of prey are migratory and others are year-round residents of Wisconsin or the Midwest. Depending on the season, bald eagles, ospreys, broad-winged hawks, and other birds of prey can be found perching or flying in our backyards, along our trails, and in other habitats. What is your experience spotting A Bird of Prey, where were you and what do you want to know about helping improve your backyard for raptors here in Wisconsin? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Anna Pigeon is our raptor guide. She is an associate professor of forest and wildlife ecology here at UW-Madison. Let's go right away to the phones now with Liz joining us from Viroqua. Hi, Liz.
Hi. I wanted to tell you, two summers ago, I noticed a very large form outside my front door. I have glass doors. And I looked out, and it was a young bald eagle standing 10 feet away next to my picnic table with its absolutely magnificent profile in full view. And I was amazed.
So what did you do?
Well, as soon as I opened the door, it crawled up the hill behind my house, and I thought, oh, it's got an injured talon. And then I called a wildlife rehabilitator that I know, and she said, yeah, I've been getting reports about that bird all morning.
Oh.
And she said, don't touch it. And I said, are you kidding? I saw that beak. And she told me that when young birds like that get injured talons, nine times out of ten, they do recover.
Well, Liz, thanks for that story. Anna, Liz saw it right there on her patio, right there in her own backyard.
That is pretty amazing to see a bald eagle sitting in your backyard or perched in your backyard. I hadn't heard such a thing. I was thinking as Liz was talking that perhaps the eagle had been, being a young eagle and young eagles having a harder time figuring out how to find food, that it had followed, I don't know what, some prey to the ground and was exploring looking for it, but I'm not quite sure what the story would be with the talon, injured talon, but I'm glad to hear there was high likelihood of recovery.
Anna, should people let birds of prey on their feeders, or how do feeders work, or is it even possible?
Well, so feeders attract birds that eat seeds or birds that eat suet, and those birds are often suitable prey for raptors. So especially two raptors, sharp-shinned hawk and Cooper's hawk, are raptors that hunt smaller birds. So sharp-shinned hawks will hunt sparrow-sized birds, and Cooper's hawks will hunt birds that are also sparrow-sized, but also up to robin or blue jay or mourning dove size. And so when those birds, like mourning doves, are attracted to the seeds that people put out and the raptors are looking or hunting, they also are attracted to the vicinity. And so you asked, should they? Well, in my opinion, it's awfully fascinating to be able to watch a bird of prey up close like one can if they're at their feeder. And nature has made it such that there are more birds that eat seeds than there are birds that eat birds. So it's designed for this process of hunting or of predation. So in my mind, it's a thrill to be able to see a raptor in action.
Let nature take its course.
Absolutely, yes.
Let's go to John now in Fitchburg. Good morning, John.
Yes, there were several that I can report, even just from in Middleton near the brewery, where there was quite an article in the newspaper that there were some great northern owls that were hanging around there. And you could get quite close, and there was quite a number of people that would stop along the road and see them. And my wife's sister out near Airport Road near Cross Plains, they had great northern owls that nested in some trees near their house, and they followed them and watched them close, and they were not afraid at all.
And, John, there's a hawk by you that is in your backyard, I understand, that you like to watch.
We see him come around, and he will swoop and sit in the highest spots in the trees and whatever and watch. And there was a fellow who was by screen porch in the back, and he was just sitting in a chair near the window, and he saw that that one swooped out and get a chipmunk right near the the window and was within 6 feet. He couldn't believe it how he did it so fast.
Front row viewing, John. Thanks so much.
I can hear the enthusiasm in John's voice. That's great. And what he was referring to about the great northern owl, there was a great gray owl, which is a boreal species. It's very rare in Wisconsin, that did create quite a stir several years back. I think it was about 5 years ago in the Middleton area.
John, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jordan now in Madison. Hi, Jordan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well. What about your raptor story?
So I lived on Spahnum Road, which is kind of near, it's basically on the border of Madison and Monona, and we had a large white pine.
Oh, you're fading out there, Jordan. So you had an owl with four baby owlets growing up in your backyard? Yeah, I think we've, Jordan dropped. Or Jordan, can you still hear us?
Yes.
You go ahead.
Okay, so I don't know where I left off, but so I had the mother owl and there was four small ones, and they were, I mean, they were active all the time. We could hear them talking. The mother was always calling out. And one time, there was four of them in the back. There were four small ones. And I went over to them. I thought the little one got hurt or something. And there was two on the low-hanging power line that were just clicking at me so loud. And as I got closer, the ones on the ground actually were flaring out their wings and clicking at me too. And it actually, after I finally got to the one that seemed stuck in the bush, because there was some that netting, that fencing, it actually had a rabbit. And so they were, I don't know what they were doing or why they were clicking at me. It's something I never really understood. And I'll get off 1 second. And the last story I have is I live in some prairie now, and just 2 weeks ago on my nest I have, we had a rabbit that lived with us for 2 years and a hawk just came swooping down right in the driveway and took it away from us. So.
Mm, wow. Jordan, thanks for the call. Anna, Jordan got really close to the owls.
I'm sorry about the loss of your rabbit, but it does highlight the point that raptors are becoming more comfortable living in the city, both probably due to the attractiveness of prey, because so many people feed birds, but also because of the lack of persecution. And so we're seeing red tails and owls, as he said, close in the city. And so regarding that set of owl young that he saw, so the clicking, I'm afraid, was a pretty strong alarm, stay away signal to him, maybe not so effective. Owls go through a phase in their life when they're out and exploring and walking around on the ground and using their bill and their talons to move up and through the branches. But it's a point when they can't fly yet. So mom or dad owl will bring them prey occasionally, and they're spending a lot of time begging. So very once you've heard it, you recognize a characteristic owl begging sound. And they will, at that time, they're very vulnerable to dogs and exploring people. If people think that they're, left alone, they're abandoned, they're not. They do have their parents out hunting for them, but it's just a phase of life that they go through when they can't quite fly.
Well, really quickly here, let's bring in Tom in Cedarburg. Tom, we just have a few seconds. What have you seen?
Well, I have a bird feeder in the backyard, a suet feeder, and I had some chickadees on the feeder, and I was sitting in a chair, and all of a sudden, a medium-sized hawk with like a dark blue top flew by me and grabbed one of the chickadees, and then it took off. And I mean, if I had to put up my hand, it would hit my fingers. Is how close it flew by me. I was amazed how bold it was. I'd also like to say that I'm a bird call, and I can get the owls, eagles, the big red-tail hawks, and the kestrels to a call back to me. But the medium-sized hunters, the bird hunters, they will not. They're always quiet.
Well, Tom, thank you so much for the call. Anna, Tom is also talking with those birds, calling those birds.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I imagine that they're responding to his vocalizations or his, I'm not quite sure how he's doing that. Early in the season, when they're early in the breeding season, when they're figuring out territories, working through relationships with challengers or neighbors, I wondered, would it be all right if I mention an opportunity to see raptors up close?
Yeah, very quickly here, just
sure.
A few seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Society for Ornithology is offering a trip on January 26th to look at short-eared owls, snowy owls, and several that we didn't have a chance to talk about yet. And to get information about that, you could take a look at their website.
Very good. Anna Pidgeon is an associate professor of forest and wildlife ecology. It's been so much fun. She's here at UW-Madison. Coming up, we'll talk about bald eagles and their remarkable comeback in Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.